let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Is such a great way to praise the Lord. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Navigation is opening up, Paul. Soon we will be on our way to Rome.
And my trial and possible execution.
Oh, you'll be acquitted? You're not guilty of a crime against the government of Rome or the Israelite nation.
Well, it's a shame you cannot testify in my behalf.
Well, I surely would if I were allowed to. Oh, by the way, I've secured passage on the Alexandrian ship, Castor and Pollux. We sail in a few days.
Surely I'm glad to have you aboard, Julius. You're a direct agent of His Majesty the Emperor, and I have wished to have the...
Exactly what I expected.
What is exactly what you expected?
Look, yonder. Publius, the Roman governor and his servants. They're bringing parting gifts for my men and me.
Gifts for you and your men? Now, why would he do that?
Because of Paul, one of my prisoners.
Ah, yes, Paul. I've been hearing many interesting things about him. You say he's a prisoner?
Yes, but he shouldn't be. He's not guilty of any crime, not even of wrongdoing.
But he is a prisoner.
Yes.
Isn't it true that all prisoners of the state are to be chained to a guard at all times?
That's the Roman law.
Where's Paul's guard?
Look, Skipper, now 3 months ago, Paul saved my life. The lives of my men and our prisoners, to say nothing of the wrecked ship's captain and crew. Now, during those 3 months, Paul has healed every sick and ailing person on this island. But these people love Paul. What do you think they would do to me and the guard if I had Paul chained at this moment of parting?
All your other prisoners are.
They would escape, if they could.
Paul wouldn't?
No. I'd sooner trust him merely on his word not to escape than I would any other man chained to 100 guards.
You're pretty sure of yourself, aren't you?
I'm sure of Paul.
Well, go say your farewells to the Roman governor. We must set sail in a few minutes. Well, my dear centurion, there she is, the Porta Puteoli. The chief port of Rome, even though Rome is 140 miles away. Give my regards to His Majesty the Emperor, if you ever get there.
We'll stay right here until we get our land legs. Then I'll arrange for a place to stay tonight. Soon we must start on our overland journey to Rome.
Beg your pardon, sir, but are you the centurion in charge?
I am.
Do you have a prisoner named Paul? A Christian.
Oh, well, if I have?
Well, I wish to see him. Sir, I too am a Christian. There are not many here in Puteoli. I am one of the few. We heard that Evangelist Paul would be aboard the Castor and Pollux, and we want to talk with him.
How can I be sure you're not his enemy?
Enemy? Oh, sir, since his letter addressed to all Roman Christians arrived, encouraging us to stand firmly for the right at all costs, we have...
Paul, did you write such a letter?
I did, Captain. I'm sure this man speaks the truth.
Sir, are you our beloved Paul?
I am Paul.
Oh, Paul, sir. Oh, the others, they wait at yonder wharf. I'll go get them so they can see and speak with you.
No, there's no need to do that. Paul can go with you and talk in private.
Oh.
But of course, Paul, you know I cannot remove the chains and let you go without the guard.
Yes, Captain. I'm not ashamed of these fetters.
I'll get along with you, then. Be with your Christian friends as long as you wish. We'll sit here and rest.
You cannot possibly realize, Paul, sir, how eagerly we have looked forward to seeing you.
These Christians had not thought to see their beloved teacher, Paul, come as a prisoner, but his sufferings only endeared him to them the more.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye. Do Not Murder!
Breathe. nice of your dad to offer to drive me home.
No problem. As a matter of fact, now I can ask you a question about something that's been bugging me.
Okay.
Remember what the preacher at church said about praying last week?
You mean about how we should pray without ceasing?
Yeah, without ceasing. What's that mean?
Well, ceasing means stopping, so I guess he's saying we should never stop praying.
That's what I thought, but that's impossible. I mean, look at my dad. He's driving a car. If he closed his eyes and started praying without ceasing, we'd be in big trouble. And how about pilots in airplanes or doctors right in the middle of a big operation? You don't see them always praying.
Oh, Carlos, you don't stop what you're doing, kneel down and close your eyes to pray. You can just think a prayer while you're doing other stuff.
Think a prayer?
Yeah, like, let's say you're riding a bicycle and you look around and it's a really beautiful day. If you closed your eyes to pray, you'd probably run into a cow or something. So you just think, hey, God, nice day. Love the flowers.
Or if I'm taking a test at school, for instance, a history test.
Like the one we had today?
Yeah, I can just think, hello, God, I thought I was ready for this test, but my brain is on vacation. So if you could just help me remember the answer to number 37, I'd really appreciate it.
That's the idea. Praying without ceasing means being able to pray anytime, anywhere. And by the way, the answer was Napoleon.
Napoleon! The Spanish guy.
French.
I think I need to pray more.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Understands how life begins or how a baby is so wonderfully formed in a mother's womb. Only God knows how to perform such a miracle. Stitch by stitch, row by row, he carefully knits each piece into place.
From Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 4, A Special Book. The friends ran past Mr. Chambers. They couldn't talk anymore because they were almost out of breath. Up ahead stood the big old oak tree. Its roots had grown so large that they had pushed up the sidewalk around it into a small hill. Some of the roots even poked through the concrete. As the shoebox kids ran around the tree, they jumped easily over the hump of sidewalk and the roots. Sammy glanced back again. The brothers were still coming. "Why don't they give up?" he wondered. "They're probably having too much fun scaring us." Again, Sammy prayed, asking God to help them. When Sammy looked around again, he saw Larry trip over the sidewalk. He fell and skinned his arm. Then Doug tripped over a large root. His ankle twisted underneath him, and he fell down too. Sammy slowed down and stopped. "Come on, Sammy," Chris said. "Don't quit." "Look," Sammy said, pointing at the twins. Larry was holding his arm and Doug was holding his ankle. Neither one seemed to be interested in chasing the shoebox kids anymore. "Thanks, God," Sammy said quietly, looking heavenward. "Hey," Chris laughed, "it looks like the big oak tripped them up." "And I used to get tired of always leaping over those roots," Maria said. "I'm sure glad those roots were there this time, though." "Me too," Dee Dee said. The shoebox kids walked the last block to the library, leaving the brothers to nurse their injuries. They talked about why Mr. Chambers came out and yelled at them. "Maybe he knows the ball went into his house," Chris suggested. "Maybe he knows I reached into his house," Sammy said. "He was watching us for a while, remember?" "Or maybe he was just being his old, mean self," Maria said loudly as she opened the library door. "Shh," Dee Dee said. "We're in the library now." They found an empty table in a corner of the library. Then they headed to the computer system that listed all the books in the library. Since Sammy had done lots of reports, he knew just how to look up a subject on the computer and find the books on the shelves. First, he looked for books on the Underground Railroad. There were a whole bunch listed. Sammy wrote down the numbers and handed the paper to Dee Dee. She, along with Maria and Chris, went to the bookshelves where they would be found. Next, Sammy typed in secret rooms, but found only a couple of fictional mysteries listed. They weren't any help. The books he needed had to be about real rooms. Sammy thought a minute. What else could secret rooms be listed under? Maybe hiding places? Sammy typed in hiding places. There! Hiding places in history. Bingo, Sammy said a little too loudly. Shh, the librarian said. Sammy quickly wrote down the reference number and went to the bookshelves. When he returned, the others were there with a stack of books. Wow, Sammy said excitedly, I never thought there would be this many books. Why don't we split them up? Exactly what are we looking for? Chris asked as he picked one up. I don't know for sure, Sammy answered. I guess you should look for chapters that talk about the houses where the slaves hid. Pay attention to any mention of secret hiding spaces or rooms, and keep your eyes open for any pictures or drawings of secret rooms. If we can find a picture of one, that will prove that Mr. Chambers' secret room could really exist. The four of them got busy. Each one read through the table of contents and turned to chapters that might contain the information they needed. Sammy picked up the book called Hiding Places in History and read through the listing of chapters that included Christians in the Catacombs, Stations of the Underground Railroad, and Secret Rooms for the Jews. Wow, Sammy thought, there were secret rooms all through history. The slaves on the Underground Railroad he knew about, but what did the other people need to hide from? Hey, Sammy, Maria whispered excitedly. Sammy jumped. He had gotten so involved with his book he'd almost forgotten where he was. Look at the picture I found in this book, Maria said. All the others gathered around Maria and looked at the open book. There was a picture of a barn. Maria quietly read the paragraph beside it. Sometimes the people who operated a station or safe house had to construct secret rooms to hide the slaves and to protect themselves for helping them. They sometimes did this by making a second wall a few feet inside the real wall. Unless measuring the outside width of the barn or house and the inside width, it was almost impossible to tell that there were two walls. Maria turned the page. Sammy gasped at the two pictures he saw. One, a diagram, showed how a wall had been built a few feet inside the outer wall of the barn. The caption read, "The last two planks could be pried off to allow people to squeeze through. Once they were in the space, someone nailed the board shut." The second picture showed the inside of the barn. It was impossible to tell that this was not the real outside wall. "That's it," Sammy said. "That must be the way the secret room in Mr. Chambers' house was made." "Sammy," Maria said, "just because a room was made to hide slaves in a house on the Underground Railroad doesn't mean there's one in Mr. Chambers' house. Nobody had slaves around here, remember?" "Well, I think there is a secret room," Sammy said, "but I guess I do need solid evidence to prove it." Then Sammy had an idea. "Come on," he said as he walked up to the librarian's desk. "Excuse me," he said to the librarian, "how could I find out about old houses in town? Is there any way I can find the building plans to them?" "Our local historical society may be able to help you. If a house is of historical interest due to its style or when it was built, they may have some information on it. You could also try the architectural firm of Smith and Bowers. They might have some old building plans at their office." "Thanks," Sammy said. He and the others walked back to the table. "So that's all we have to do," Sammy said. "We'll go to the Smith and Bowers firm where they draw up the plans for new buildings. We can ask if they have the original plans to Mr. Chambers' house." "Well, we sure can't go now," Dee Dee said. "I gotta go." "We do too," Chris and Maria said. Sammy sadly agreed as they put the books back, but he got out his library card and checked out the book on hiding places. He wanted to read that book at home. The friends headed out of the library together. Maria and Chris turned up the street toward their house. Dee Dee went in the opposite direction. Sammy crossed the street and continued back the way they had come. He jumped back over the broken sidewalk and roots of the big oak. Sammy thought about the twins. I wonder how Larry and Doug are. Although he was glad the brothers had stopped chasing them, he began to think he should have gone back to make sure they were all right. As he passed by Mr. Chambers' house, he looked at the round window. Sammy stopped in his tracks. The sun was behind the trees so that Mr. Chambers' house was dark in the falling shadows, and the only light coming from his house was coming right out of the small round window.
You have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 9, The Secret of the Hidden Room, written by Nancy Speck, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.